Can we lift our hands and give God praise? Some kind of adoration and honor him and bless his name. On your way back to your seats, tell somebody he's a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. We owe him a great praise. He's a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, you don't sound real glad. Clap your hands if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Yes, indeed. You may be seated in his presence. I greet you with Jesus' joy. It's a blessing and an honor to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can I get a witness in this place this morning? I know it's cold and you had to get out in the cold, but it's good to be alive and well and able to get out and be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Somebody would love to be able to get out of their bed this morning, but the legs don't work and their feet don't move. And look at how God has blessed you to be out and about in the house of the Lord. You ought to get a praise in just for that and that alone. Amen. Clap your hands and thank the Lord for walking in divine health. I said, thank the Lord for walking in divine health. Healing is good, but I want to walk in divine health. If I walk in divine health, I don't need to be healed. I want to walk in divine health. Somebody thank the Lord for divine health over your life right now. You ought to thank him, but you got to thank him by faith. Glory to God. We've got so many good things going on. I'm really, really excited about it. I'm so thrilled with our new Youth Empowerment Center. I'm just so thrilled with it. What a beautiful facility. I can't wait to take you all through it. I would do it this morning, but the staff would hate me for it. But I want to take you all through it and show you all the nuances and all the wonderful things. Your children are going to be so blessed and so strengthened. Teenagers, all ages are going to be blessed. Glory to God, we're finally going to be able to have dinners and church dinners and all that kind of stuff, and it's going to be good. I've been teasing for 20 years about sitting down eating some chicken wings with you. We can do it in a minute. Glory to God, when we get through heaven, what is it about church that makes you hungry? There is no kind of hungry like Sunday hungry. Amen, Sunday hungry. It's a whole different life. I need to open up a restaurant called Sunday Hungry. Amen. We're getting ready for MegaFest. Give God a praise for MegaFest. And we're proud to announce that MegaFest this year is going to be powered by PepsiCo. Give God a praise for PepsiCo. Amen. We're glad to have them, and we're excited about them coming on board with us, and people are registering and calling, and groups are calling in and preparing to be a part of all the things that we have going. Woman Thou Art Loose will be going on. Manpower is going to be going on. Mega Youth and Mega Kids. It's going to be amazing, and we're just so thankful for all the planning and the preparation going on by the staff. Can we just take a moment and thank God for the staff right here at the Potter's House? Can we just honor them? I mean, it's some hard-working people up here. Glory to God. We took a few days off for Christmas. I was scared they weren't going to come back, but it looks like they're coming back. I thought they might have escaped with Santa Claus and ran away to the North Pole, but they made it back to the house of the Lord. Give God a praise for all of our volunteers as well. Amen. While we're honoring God, I want to appreciate the first lady of this house, Lady Sarita Jakes. We love and appreciate you. Good to see you in the service of the Lord. Well, I've been teaching a series that started New Year's Eve night. Amen. Favor in the famine. favor in the famine, and we made two deposits on it. We introduced it on New Year's Eve, and we carried it out last Sunday. We're going to pick up and go from there. I'm going to give you a quick recap for those of you who may need a recap to catch up on what we did last Sunday. Take a look at this. What is your story? Your story is your gift. Whatever crushed you and broke you, and you still serve God in spite of it, that is your gift. That is the key that makes you the key man. And it is how you see the world that makes you able to see a plan where other people see a problem. Joseph has been that key. He is what the task calls for. So he sees it in a light that Pharaoh can't see it. He knows how to survive off the memories of the good times. They took his coat, but they couldn't take his memory. You got to learn how to keep the bubble in the middle. You cannot allow yourself to go into a state of depression over a temporary situation. You've had too many high places to let this low place drive you crazy. Balance. Get behind me. Peter's hug, he pushed behind me. He called Peter the devil. He called Judas his friend. Why would Jesus call Judas his friend? Judas is the famine. Judas is the low place. Judas is the skinny cow. Judas is the empty grains of corn. Peter is fat and full and loving and feisty. But it is not the good stuff that makes you who you are. It is the horrible stuff that shows what you really got inside. God said, until you can be faithful to that pertains to another man, you will never be able to get your own. You can't lead well if you don't serve well. Wow. Give God a praise. You can't lead well if you don't serve well. Where I left you last Sunday, we had recognized the fact that Joseph has decided now to be faithful to that pertains to another man. It's not really his dream, it's Pharaoh's dream, but he is the facilitator of somebody else's dream. I want to set in context that this is a sacrifice, but it is a very necessary sacrifice. For we understand that the Bible says you must first be faithful to that pertains to another man. And a lot of us overlook that there is something that we learn by serving that we don't learn by leading. Oh, come on, talk to me somebody. When we are faithful to that pertains to another man, it does something else to us too. It purges us from the propensity to be selfish. See, Tide won't get that out. Bleach won't get that out. It purges us from the propensity to be selfish. Joseph now then has said, I'm not even going to worry about my dream. You would understand, if you understand the character Joseph, that Joseph's dream is to be reconnected with his family. The only person in his life that has really expressed real love for him are his parents, his mother, his father. Their love for them is all that he has ever known. He was hated by his brethren, but he was loved by his father. He hasn't seen his family for years, but God has put him in this situation and used the famine to open up a door for him to facilitate the vision of Pharaoh, which brought him out of jail. He has favor. but he still has problems. He has favor, but he still has disappointments. He has favor, but he still has pain. When you start talking about walking in the favor of God, you think the Kool-Aid's going to come out of your water fountain, but it's not. Walking in the favor of God doesn't mean that everything's going to go right and all your bills are going to be magically paid and all your debt's going to be deleted out of the computer and all your kids are going to make straight A's and your knee will never hurt. The fact that, because what I want you to do is recognize favor. We shout about it, we sing about it, we talk about it, but a lot of people don't recognize favor because they think that if you walk in the favor of God, you don't have any problems. We look at people who seem like they have the favor of God and say, oh my, I would love to be sister so-and-so. I'd love to be like brother so-and-so. They're happy all the time. They're smiling all the time. They might be smiling all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. They're not happy all the time. Some of these folks are faking these teeth. I said they're faking these teeth. They're not really happy all the time, but they can be walking in the favor of God and not allow the vicissitudes of life to overwhelm them because they made a commitment that they're going to be content whatever state they're in and whatever they're going through. This too shall pass. There's some people in here shouting right now. They're not shouting because everything's going right. They're not shouting because everything that they desired has come to pass, but they have a bottom line, a commitment, a foundation, an anchor that holds them fast. And though the storms are raging in their life, they know that all things are going to work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Do I have two or three of those folks? Tell your neighbor, I'm walking in the favor of God. So Joseph has thrown himself, and this is so powerful to me. He has thrown himself into the work at hand, and God is using him to handle the gross national product for an entire nation of which he is not even kin. He is not an Egyptian. He has not been raised an Egyptian. He came into Egypt as an inmate. The very people who oppressed him have now hired him. Glory to God. I said, y'all missed a good place to shout right there. I'm going to say it again so you can get your shout in. The very people who oppressed him have now hired him. Y'all not awake yet. Let me try. The very people who oppressed him have now hired him. You see why you can't afford to be bitter? Because sometimes the very person that cursed you on yesterday, God will make them turn around and bless you on tomorrow, and you can't be too hateful to receive the blessing. In fact, God said, I'll make your enemies your footstools. You're going to climb up higher because of who hated you than you did because of who liked you. That's why he puts Peter behind him and he grabs Judas and calls him friend, because Judas pushed Jesus into his destiny in a way that Peter's love could never do. Amen. Incidentally, thank you, Emmett, for being the devil for me. I rebuked him. Amen. Glory to God. You got to do what you got to do. So now we're going to go into this third installment today, and we're now understanding something that I'm excited to talk to you about today. This is the third installment on my series, and I call it the ambidextrous God. The ambidextrous God. Did you know that God was ambidextrous? God is ambidextrous. And we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to go to Genesis 42:1-6. And we're going to go to Job 23:8-10. Let's go to Job first. I want to go to Job first. Job 23:8-10. And then we're going to point it back to Genesis 42:1-6. Job 23:8-10. When you have it, say amen. All right. If you're looking for it, say wait on me. Job, I declare it's in there. Incidentally, it is the first chronological book of the Bible, older than Genesis. Job gives us our first glimpse of relationship with God and understanding God with no Bible, no Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers were written by Moses. That came along much later. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible when God showed him his back parts, which is a King James way of history. And Job writes in 23:8, before I go forward, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive it. I cannot see God when I'm going forward, and I can't see God when I'm going backwards. Can anybody relate to that? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Next verse. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. I know he's doing something over there, but I can't see it. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. On one hand, he's working, and I can't see him. And on the other hand, somebody say, on the other hand, he hideth himself. But he knoweth the way that I take. Oh, God. I don't know what he's doing. I can't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know. And I'm not resting on what I know. I'm resting on what he knows. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, my God. That's good. He said, I don't know what he's doing. He's hidden it from me. He's working on the left hand. I cannot see it. He's moving on the right hand. He's hidden it from me. But I do know that when he gets to working it out, it's going to work together for good. I shall come forth as pure gold. That's faith at its best. That's trust at its best. Lord, I don't see it. I don't understand it. Sometimes I don't like it. I can't perceive it. I can't explain it to anybody, but I know it's going to end up good. That's how you're going to have to walk into 2017. I don't understand everything. I don't know why this had to happen at this time. I don't know why I had to go through that. I don't know why you had to move me like you moved me. I don't know why you had to relocate me. God has done some amazing things to get you to where you are right now. Some of you have come into Dallas. You came for one reason. Didn't even have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. But God used that thing to get you in this city, to get you in this church. God has a crazy way of working in your life. You thought you were coming for a job and you had a spiritual encounter with the Lord. You thought you was coming because grandma was sick and had an encounter with God. God has a way of drawing you out with one thing and setting you up with something else. And it's only in retrospect that you begin to understand why you had to get fired. You ought to go back and tell your old boss, thank you. You ought to go find your ex-husband and say thank you. You ought to go back and find your old girlfriend and say, I'm so glad you dumped me, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. While I got you up, let me take you to Genesis right quick, because I know y'all don't like to stand long. Genesis 42, you make me stand all day, but your feet hurt in 5 minutes. Genesis 42, with life ain't fair. Up until now, we have been talking about Joseph. We've talked a lot about Joseph, but I want to digress a little bit, because Joseph is walking in favor. He's walking in favor. And he's walking in famine. And the famine is the favor. If there were no famine, Joseph would still be in jail. So when God got ready to give Joseph a favor, he sent a famine. Somebody got that. When God got ready to command his release, he sent a problem that made Joseph important. Because Joseph is an answer, and he's only an answer if there's a problem. He's only a key if there's a lock. Sometimes it's only the bad things in life that make you important. Oh, they just using me. Shut up. If they weren't using you, you wouldn't be important. Everybody's using everybody. Shut up and get used to it. You either get used or you get ignored. Come on, somebody. They're just using me. You were on the back corner. Nobody was even paying you no attention. You ought to be glad somebody's using you. Can you imagine a key complaining because you put it in a lock? Oh, you're using me. Before I ran into this lock, you was just in my pocket. Now you get a chance to be selected and elected to accomplish a purpose. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for using me. And Joseph has gotten out of jail. And we've not talked about his family. We've not talked about his family. We've not talked about his father, his patriarch, who gave him the coat of many colors. We haven't seen him since Joseph was a child. We've not said nothing about him at all. We've talked about the pit that Joseph's been in, but we have not talked about his patriarch. We have talked about Potiphar's house, but we have not talked about his patriarch, his father. We have talked about Joseph's prison, but we have not talked about Joseph's patriarch, his father. His father was not in the pit. His father was not in Potiphar's house. He was doing good for a while at Potiphar's house, getting the promotion at Potiphar's house, but his daddy never saw it. His daddy thought he was dead. He never saw him when he went up. He never saw him when he went down. He never saw him when he went up. He never saw him when he went down. And when they snatched him out of Potiphar's house and took him to jail, he probably was glad his patriarch wasn't there to see his son go to jail. It's probably for the best that he thinks I'm dead. It would break his heart to see me drug away and taken into jail like this, walking around in the prison cell. Here I am, the son that he favored with the coat of many colors, and now I'm wearing a striped uniform in a prison cell. And it's probably best he doesn't even see me like this. He's probably forgotten about me anyway. And God uses a famine and brings him out of the prison. And God gives him favor. And the favor is the famine. And the famine is the favor. Thank you for my famines. Thank you for the things I cried about. Thank you for the things that scared me to death. Thank you for the things that threatened me. Thank you for the things that just wore me down to a nub. I didn't understand it at the time, but the famine was a favor. It got me out of the prison and set me into the palace. And now Joseph is serving in the palace, riding in the chariot behind the Pharaoh. He's got his necklace on. He's got his gold ring. He's got his gold, his fineries on. And he is leading a nation of people connected to people that he's not kin to. And God is blessing him, and he's going up to the top. And Joseph is standing in favor. But Jacob, his father, is in a blistering famine. They have run out of food, and they are about to die. And it is into that death breath that this text is written. With gasping, parched lips, this text is written. For the famine is fierce. And in the preceding verse, it has swept all over the world. And the only people who are surviving it are the people in Egypt, because Joseph has favor in the famine. And when God gives you favor in the famine, you can live in what would kill somebody else because you have favor in the famine. Joseph is riding around in chariots and hair blowing in the wind and robes and rings all over him, getting fanned and eating grapes. in the famine because the famine gave him favor, made him important, gave him a job. A job always needs a problem to fix or you're unemployed. If you don't like problems, you don't like money. Because money comes to people who solve problems. And as long as you are a problem, you'll never prosper. Because nobody wants to prosper their problem. You want to prosper your answer. Don't let the devil trick you into being a part of the problem. Because the problem will always be destroyed. You want to be part of the answer. And Joseph is walking in the answer of who God is. But Jacob is about to die. And Joseph doesn't even know it because Jacob is way back in Israel. And Jacob thinks Joseph is dead. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wait a minute. I know you're tired of standing, but let me tell you this. There's a blessing coming your way you thought was dead. They didn't hear me. Let me try y'all. There's a blessing coming your way you thought was dead. I'm going to see if y'all can receive it. There's a blessing coming your way you thought was dead. There's a blessing coming your way you thought was dead. Joseph doesn't know whether Jacob is alive, and Jacob thinks that Joseph is dead and he's about to die. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, he had heard about it. The previous chapter says he heard about it. The nation's only nation that was doing good was Egypt. Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sat not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. You cannot take Benjamin too. Benjamin and Joseph are the two sons of Rachel, born to his beloved. He's lost one. He can't afford to lose another one. So Benjamin, you've got to stay at home. You always hold close what you got left. After you've lost something, you learn to appreciate something. And you say, I'm never going to let that happen to me again because I've lost my Joseph. I can't lose my Benjamin too. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Because it's something about a famine will humble you. It said these are the guys who tried to kill him a few chapters ago. And now they're bowing down before him because hunger will bring you to your knees. Hunger will make you say, I'm sorry. Hunger will make you change your attitude and your way. Hunger will make you lay prostrate on the floor and say, whatever it takes to work this out, I'm willing to humble myself because I need you. I know I haven't been right, but I need you. I know I haven't always made the right choices, but I need you. See, you can't walk up to God acting important. You got to come to God prostrate and say, I know I haven't been right, but I need you. I know I let you down, but I need you. I know I messed up, but I need you. I need you. I need you. And from this, I would like to extract the complexities of explaining that there is an ambidextrous God, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. we delve into the word. We come before you like Jacob. We come hungry. We come desperate. We come needy. Without your hand over our lives, we won't be able to make it. Feed us till we want no more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in his presence. So how y'all doing this morning? You doing good? Most of us are right-handed. The vast majority of people are right-handed. And that doesn't mean we don't have a left hand. It just means that whenever we get ready to do anything, we have a tendency to do it from the right hand because that's where we're stronger. That's where we have more fluidity of movement, more flexibility. That's where we galvanize more strength and the right bicep gets stronger. The whole right side gets stronger because we use it the most. We're right-handed. Some of us are left-handed. We have the same experience that the right-handed people do, but we have it on the left hand. Our left hand is where it's our gripping hand. It's our fighting hand. It's our pushing, our pulling, our connecting hand. When we get ready to snatch something, we do it with our left hand because we're left-handed. And when we get ready to push something away, we push it with our left hand because we are left-handed. The right-handed person pushes away with their right hand and pulls to them with the right hand because they are stronger in the right hand. The right hand is strong, the left hand is weak. With the left-handed person, the left hand is strong, the right hand is weak. Now, science teaches us that the left-handed person is left-handed because they are fueled by right brain. And because the right brain has the strongest influence, it acts out in the left hand. So the signal is coming from over here and it's hitting over here. The right-handed person is getting the signal from the left side of the brain. The left side of the brain is igniting in such a way that it causes him to instinctively move with the right hand. There are some people who have dualities of hands. And what duality means, that they do some things with their left hand and other things with the right hand. Anybody like that in here? Maybe you write with your left hand, but you're stronger in your right hand, or you cook with your right hand and you punch with your left hand, or whatever it is. They, depending on what the job is, they have a duality of hand. That's not quite ambidextrous, because even then you prefer one hand over another depending on the task. But the person who is truly ambidextrous can use the right hand as well as they can use the left hand, regardless of the task, which means that the right brain is just as strong as the left brain, and they have an option of doing either because there is no weakness on either side. They can write with the right hand. They can write with their left hand. It doesn't make any difference. Just whichever way you throw them the pen, they'll snatch it and go to writing because they are ambidextrous, strong and strong. Push and push. Pull and pull. No difference, no breaking, no variableness, no changes. Strong. God is not left-handed, because it would mean his right hand was weak. And he is not right-handed because it would mean that his left hand was weak. And there is no weakness in him at all. Your God is ambidextrous. He can work as well with his right hand as he can with his left. So Job said, I looked for God. I could not find him. I went forward and I could not find him. I went backwards and I could not find him. I looked for him on the right side and I could not perceive him. I looked for him on the left side and I knew he was doing something over there, But I didn't know what it was. And I thought of this text, because up until now, we have seen God move by his right hand. His right hand has been on Joseph all of his life. His right hand put the coat of many colors on him, called him out and set him aside. The right hand, son of my right hand, strength. The strength of God was on him. They threw him in the pit. The foe should have killed him, but the hand caught him. You know, the pit was a well. It was a dry well. It was a place where water was. Some people have fallen into a place where water was. They love to worship where God used to be. They have fallen into the pit of religion, sniffing at the moisture in the air, because at one time that church was on fire. But what was a gushing well has become a dry pit, and they have fallen. Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. God, by his right hand, held him in the pit, raised him out of the pit using the Midianites, brought him to the house of Potiphar, raised him up in the house of Potiphar from being a slave to running the master's house. His right hand, his holy arm, has gotten him the victory. Joseph has the victory till Potiphar's wife lied on him. And then he goes into prison and goes from running the house to being an inmate. But even there, we've seen the right hand of God. Because locked up in prison, he accelerates and advances to the point that he is over all the inmates. One thing about favor, if favor is on your life, I don't care what people throw you in, you will always rise to the top. There are some people in this room that have been to hell and back, but whatever they threw you in, you always rose to the top, because the favor of God was on your life. They put their foot on you and God stretched out his hand and snatched you up. People don't understand why you praise God like you do. You praise God like you do because you've been in the pit. You've been lied on at Potiphar's house. You've had your back up against the wall and couldn't see your way clear. But every time they were ready to throw dirt on you, God with his right hand smacks you. Every time you get a chance, you give him the praise. You don't need praise dancers or praise leaders. You'll praise him in your house. You'll praise him in your kitchen. You'll praise him in your living room. For when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, slap somebody and tell them, I know I got favor. I haven't always had friends, but I know I got favor. I haven't always had family, but I know I got favor. I haven't always had finances, but I know I got favor. Every time they knocked me down, I got up again, because I know I got favor. I've been lied on, but I got favor. I've been set back, but I got favor. I've been set up, but I got favor. If you've got some favor, make some noise. Don't mess with me, because I got favor. Don't start nothing, because I got favor. Before you hit me, I think you should understand I got favor. Is there anybody that's got favor? God fights your battle. God moves your mountains. God makes a way. God protects you from your enemy.
You are walking in favor. Every time they threw you out, you got in. Every time they knocked you down, you got up. Every time they said you wouldn't be back, here you come back down the road again. Slap somebody and tell them I got favor. Call your ex-husband and tell him I got favor. Tell your old girlfriend I got favor. You thought you dumped me and I'd never get up. Hey, boo, got favor. Got me some favor. Got me some favor. Got a job when other folk couldn't get a job. I got favor. Cancer jumped on me. I whipped cancer because I got favor. Oh, I wish somebody had a testimony in here. God's hand is on my life. I got favor. That's how the Bible expresses favor. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And the hand of the Lord was on Moses. And the hand of the Lord was on Ezekiel. Simply means I got favor. When you got favor, favor shows up in the strangest ways. You wouldn't know that you had favor if you didn't have famine. It is the famine that convinces me I got favor. It is the blessings that make no sense. It is your foot on my neck that taught me I got favor. It is the fact you cussed me out that showed me I got. Oh, y'all are going to talk to me. I need some real people here this morning. Do you not know the loan closed with bad credit because I got favor? Silver and gold have I none, but I got favor. I may not be cute, but I got favor. You might want to get with me because I got favor. You might want to hire me because I got favor. You might better take a second look. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me today. I got favor. Everything I touch gets blessed. Everywhere my feet trod, everything I lay my hands on, I got favor. If I touch you, you going to get blessed. If I touch you, you will act up. Sit down, y'all getting all excited. Sound like somebody in here got some favor. This is the kind of stuff the devil say to you when you got favor. He's always trying to make you think you don't have it. If you got so much favor, how come you got this famine to deal with? If you got so much favor, how come your wife left you? If you got so much favor, how come you got fired? That's why this series is so important. Because we're looking at the collaborative coexistence of two polarities, favor and famine. Favor in the famine, and the famine What's the favor?
Come on.
If my father had been there, I might not have been the man I am now. Had to grow up quick. Had to be mama's little man. Yes, I got father hunger, but his absence was a favor. Tough times was a favor. It was good for me that I was afflicted. If I had never been afflicted, I'd have never found out who I was. What they sent to break me, bless me. When they tried to curse me, he prospered me. To God be the glory of the Sabbath. Oh, I better stop. I'm about to get myself happy right now. When you learn what I'm teaching, you shout about crazy stuff. You dance with bad news. All hell breaks loose and you say, hallelujah. God's getting ready to do something again. I got favor. Where are my favor folks at? Make some noise. The famine brought the favor. The famine was the favor. Joseph went from a prisoner to a prince only because of the famine. The famine made him important. The famine gave him a job. Thank you, Jesus. The famine gave him a job. Isn't that an interesting way of looking at your life? The famine gave you a job. Oh, this man I married gets on my nerves. He can't do nothing without me. Yeah, I know, the famine. Gave you a job. I once complained because the Lord sent me to a revival to a little church on the big night. They had 10 people. And I was preaching every night to 2 or 3 people and they wouldn't even sit together. You couldn't even get them to touch and say your neighbor because the neighbor was over there. And I was mad. I was in this little town in Ohio and I went back to my little best days, western days, something. And I was mad. I told God, I want to be here. This dead church, they're dead. They're dead, Lord. They're dead. I don't want to preach them dead people. They're dead, Lord. I ain't no mortician. They dead people, Jesus. And you know what he told me? They're job security, Jakes. They're job security, Jakes. If they wasn't dead, I wouldn't need you. The famine is your favor. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. You might be fighting the very thing that ever made you important. If the problem wasn't there, they wouldn't need you. I can't stand this job. They crazy. That's why they hired you. I don't want to go to that church. They're hateful. That's why God sent you. The famine is your favor. It made him important. They snatched him out of his inmate clothes. He shaved his face. And one moment he's with inmates and the next moment he's before Pharaoh only because of the famine. The famine was his favor. And now he has a job and an important job. And he is controlling the gross national product for an entire country. It's being run by an inmate. Ain't that funny? Isn't that funny? Have you ever had God do something that made you laugh? Yes. Come on, I want to talk to some real people. Have you ever had God do something that made you laugh? And you didn't want to laugh while you were on the phone because you said, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, yes, I totally understand. Tuesday at 4 o'clock, yes, I'll be there. No problem. Thank you so much. All right, yes, I have your number. God bless. Take care. Goodbye. And you ha ha! Grown man act like an imbecile. You start doing jumping jacks and stuff just in your living room, acting crazy. Because God will do stuff that makes you laugh. And there he is running Egypt, running the country's finances that enslaved him. Wow. God turned it around with his right hand. And his holy arm, he has gotten him the victory. But I'm not here to preach about what he did with his right hand. I really came to tell you about what he did with his left hand. Joseph couldn't see it, but God was working with his left hand. And the Lord wants you to hear this message because he's doing some things in your life that you can't see. He's doing some things that you cannot perceive. He worketh with his left hand and you perceived it not. He's working on them kids through the things you're going through. Yeah, he's working on it. You think it's about you. It ain't about you. It's about them. He's using you to get to them. He's working on he's working on his left hand. What you're going through may not even have anything to do with you. It's about them. He's using you to pull them in. He's working on the left hand. You think you're shouting over what he did with his right hand? Wait till you see what he does with his left. He's just as strong with his left hand as he is with his right hand. So Joseph is working around. He's riding in the chariot. They're riding in this Rolls Royce, you know, right behind the Pharaoh. I got to contemporize it a little bit because y'all don't have chariots. But he riding behind the boss in the chariot. God is giving him favor. With Pharaoh and Pharaoh's men, that ain't easy. Because when the boss likes you, the people around him hate you. You are outsider too? You didn't pay no dues or nothing? You didn't come up through the ranks? We don't know who your mama is or nothing? You just show up, shazam, and now you gonna be my boss? I was here before you ever even came along. But when God gives you favor, he'll make people like you, and they don't even know why they like you. They just do. You got favor. Joseph is walking in favor. But his daddy, Jacob, is in famine. He's in a dry place. The crops didn't come in this year. And the wheat didn't grow. And they can't make no bread. And they're starving to death. And Jacob says to his boys, why are you standing there looking at each other? Why are you looking at people who are just as hungry as you are? Why are you expecting to find bread amongst somebody who's about to pass out just like you? Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Why are you bitter against somebody not helping you who was worse off than you in the first place? Why are y'all looking at one another like you are? I heard that there's bread in Egypt. Take these coins and go down there and buy some bread. So the famine, God is blessing Jacob. He's blessing Joseph with his right hand. And he's pulling Jacob with his left. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord sent me here to tell you he's pulling something. Something you can't even see. You over here praising him about what he's doing with his right hand, but you wait till you see what he's doing with his left hand. Just when you decided that you just have to live without your dream, just when you decided that you would serve other people and what God promised you would never happen, just when you decided to make do with your situation, God said while you were taking care of his business, he's going to take care of yours. I'm talking about the ambidextrous God. If I'm talking to you, shout me down in this place. We get so caught up with the right hand. The right hand is the thing that God does in silos. It's the things he does that we can see. It's the things that he does in the community of our reality. It's the things that he does that directly affects us. The right hand. But then he's also ambidextrous. On the other hand, you see, had Lazarus known that, he would not have died grievously. Because Lazarus got sick and it wasn't even about him. That's why Jesus didn't come heal him. He was using his death. He used Lazarus' death to make Mary and Martha stop arguing about who had the best job. He used Lazarus' death so that the priests could see that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. He used Lazarus' death to set his destiny on course for him to go through the crucifixion. It had nothing to do with his sickness, but they was looking at his right hand. They never saw what he was doing with his left hand. I don't know who this is for, but you've been so worried about what's going on with the right hand that God wanted you to hear that he's working on something you don't even see in his left hand. And when he gets to working it, you shall come forth as pure gold. You don't see it. You don't understand it. You can't explain it. But all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. On his right hand, he brought Abraham and Isaac to Mount Moriah. And Isaac is walking up on the hill with his daddy. And he says, Daddy, I see the knife and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Isaac didn't know that the sacrifice was coming through the left hand. Because while Abraham and Isaac was coming up the hill with what they did see and what they didn't see, God was on the other side bringing a ram up on the other side of the hill. They were both coming up at the same time. And sometimes you don't understand what God's plan is until you get into the place that God wants you to be. And then you look over your shoulder and God had the answer coming at you all the while. I don't know who that's for, but I feel a 30-minute praise about to hit this place. I told him a few Sundays ago, I couldn't figure out how come I couldn't get my church to grow. I'm the same guy. I preached my heart out. All up in Smithers, I'm a preaching and a hollering and sweating and standing up on pews and walking across the pews, and the devil is a lie, bless God, to 40 people on Easter. And I said, I must not have no power. I must not have no favor, because I was trying to build this church, never knowing that God was using the church to build me. When you can't work it out, maybe it is working you out. You don't lift weights to change the weights. You don't lift weights to change the weights. The weights gonna still be the same. Whether you pull them up or pull them down. Whether you go up or go back, the weights are still the same. You're not changing the weights. I'm lifting the weights. You ain't changing them weights. The weights are changing you. Any problem that you don't change has come to change you. If you prayed about it and God didn't move it, then he let it stay to change you. Paul, stop praying about your thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to change it. I left it to change you. Lest you be exalted above measure. I sent an enemy to buffet your flesh. You are not there to change it. It is there to change you. God sends kids in your life to change you. Make you love stuff you said you couldn't love. Take stuff you said you couldn't take. Reach out to things you said you couldn't reach out. It was a demon and a devil till it got your baby. Now it's a situation. But God is going to work it out. Oh yeah, he gonna work it out. She crazy, but I love her. Yeah. Oh, y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. God sends things to change you. Joseph is in this situation, and this is what I want you to see, because this is my setup for next week. Joseph is in this situation where he has completely given up on seeing his father again and thrown his whole self into Pharaoh's vision. He's all in. He has set up the budget for the next 14 years. And he's done it so well that other nations have heard of it and they're coming to eat off of Joseph's favor. And when you throw yourself into something unselfishly and you decide that even if I don't see my father, if I don't get what I want, if it never happens for me, I just want to see you get where you're trying to go. It is precisely that attitude that shows why God chose Joseph in the first place. Abraham offers up his son Isaac on the mountaintop. And God says, I don't even need your son. I don't need you to do it. I need to know that you would do it. In the process of being unselfish, I got a plan where you can bless Pharaoh and still get back what you lost. In the process of being unselfish, I got a plan where you can offer up your son and he can still go home with you. In the process of helping somebody else, you didn't know that while you was helping them, I was helping you. And while you was working on their situation, I was working on your situation. And what I'm trying to tell you is that if you do it for him, I'll do it for you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, now, if you get an attitude and say, I ain't helping him, he the very one started the problem. Shutting down Pharaoh will stop your daddy from coming. I feel it. I feel like God is talking to somebody. This doesn't even feel like a sermon. It feels like a prophecy. It feels like a prophecy for somebody who has given to the point that you felt like a fool. That you put yourself on the sideline so long that you feel embarrassed about the things you gave up to help other people. And sometimes you were helping people who wasn't even helping you. Sometimes you were serving people who never even served you back. And you've been feeling like life made a fool out of you. It might have made a fool out of you, but it's not going to make a fool out of God. Because whatever you lost, God is going to make it up to you. Look at God. As Joseph says yes to his right hand, God is pulling his family with his left hand. And everything that Joseph thought he lost has got on a camel and saddled up and started headed his way. I want you to touch 10 people and tell them the camels are coming. 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 No time to faint. No time to quit. No time to give up. No time to draw back. The camels are coming. This ain't no time to faint. The camels are coming. The reason you had to be here this morning is so you can know the camels are coming. That's your blessing coming at you right now. Right now, right now. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Your camels are coming. 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 Everything that was held up, everything that looked like it got away, everything you said, maybe it's not meant for me, maybe I'm not supposed to have it, maybe it'll never happen to me, maybe it's not for me, maybe I'm not supposed to get it. You're looking at the right hand. I'm preaching about the left hand. God is... Oh, somebody shout for me and give God glory. All of a sudden, Joseph. Hey, Joseph, there's his family. I know we're supposed to be closing, man. I know it's after hours, but there's family at the door. And they say they came a long ways. And they got some money and they're trying to do business. It's time to close. It's time to close. I've been helping people all day. I'm tired and I want to go home. It's just one more family. One more family. And they say they came all the way from Israel. And they can't go home without any bread. And they got some money. Can you stay open a little bit longer? Well, I helped all the rest of them. I guess I helped them. And all of a sudden, that's your blessing knocking at the door. 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 This ain't no time to be weary. This ain't no time to shut down. This ain't no time to close the door. This ain't no time to lock up your blessing. This ain't no time to change your strategy. Your blessing is knocking at the door. What I love about this text is that God, with his left hand, drew what he had lost back to him. The famine was the favor. If it hadn't been a favor, Joseph would have been imprisoned. If it hadn't been a favor, his father would have still been in Israel. What God is trying to tell you is that I can do more than one thing at the same time. I can do more than one thing at the same time. That while you see what I'm doing over here, you need to praise me for what you don't see. You're talking about I can't receive it till I see it. I can't believe it. Get out of here. You need to praise him for what you can't see, what you don't feel, what you don't understand, what doesn't make any sense. It's coming! And he looks up here. And here come the boys in the door. The brothers come in the door. And they came, Jackie, because they need a favor. You can't get a favor until you go to somebody who is highly favored. You have been trying to seek a favor amongst people who had no favor. That's why Jacob said, why look ye one to another? Why do you keep expecting to get something from somebody that they don't have? You're upset about them not giving you something that they don't have to give. Your friend has a famine too. Your husband is in a famine too. Why are y'all fighting? If anybody ought to understand a famine, it ought to be you. Why are you mad at me for being hungry when you hungry too? If you can love your hungry self, can't you love my hungry self? Let's fight the issue and not the individual. Because really my beef ain't with you. My beef is with the bread. I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry and you hungry. I'm tired of yelling at you for being hungry when I'm hungry too. Let's get together and go. Let's get together and go. Because I heard there's bread in Egypt. And they came into the door and they looked at Joseph and they didn't even know him. They didn't even know him. They had seen him in failure. But they had not seen him in favor. They had even seen him in his coat of many colors. But his coat of many colors was just a shadow of the Pharaoh's garments that he now wears. I'm telling you, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither has entered into your heart the things that God has in store for you. If you knew what God had in store for you, you wouldn't even be worried about what you're worried about right now. If you had any idea what God was going to do in your life, you wouldn't even stop to pick flowers where you're picking flowers right now. If you had any sense of who you were in God, the things you've been worried about, you wouldn't even worry about them any longer. Why would you be fighting over a little coat over here that was just a shadow of a robe of authority that God's about to give you over here? You sit up there crying about what you lost. What you lost was just a placeholder. Something for you to practice on. For what God was at that shadow. For what God was about to give you in your life. Your eyes haven't seen it yet. But he's working it out and he brought them all together in one room. I'll close with this. Ephesians 1:9 says it better than anything I said all day. It says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I'm telling you, you think God is working on you? He's working on stuff that don't even have nothing to do with you. While he's working on you, He's working on things that you don't even see his hand on. He's moving in circumstances and situations that don't make any sense. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? A few weeks ago, one of my sons in the gospel, his mother died, and I went to him. It has been a few months ago. And I went to him and I told him, he said, I don't understand it. I don't understand. I lost my mother, and 2 weeks later, I lost my son. I don't understand it. I said, don't try to understand it. Don't try to understand it. The worst thing you can do is to try to understand it. Don't try to understand it. Survive it. Survive it. Back yourself over in a corner. Buckle your seatbelts. Hold on for dear life. And say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Don't try to understand it. Survive it. You're trying to understand why they left you, why they hurt you, why they betrayed you, why your children don't love you, why your wife walked out. Don't try to understand that. Survive it. Survive it. Survive it. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth and survive it. You'll understand it better by and by. You're trying to understand in a week something that God is working out over decades and centuries. Sometimes you'll be an old man before you understand. And you say, Lord, if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. And if this one wouldn't have left, that one wouldn't have came. And if that didn't happen when it happened, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I apologize for doubting you. I apologize for doubting you. I should have known you was doing something with your other hand. I was crying over what you did with your right. I didn't see your left. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not your will. His will. Everybody left, couldn't stay. And everybody who stayed, couldn't leave. Because God is working all things ambidextrously with both hands after the counsel of his own will. Paul says, so many things we don't know. We know not what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and moanings that cannot be uttered, because we don't even know. Have you ever gone through somewhere where you didn't even know how to pray? I don't even know what to ask you to do. We know not what to pray for as we ought. He said, but there's one thing we do know. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. We don't know, Isaac, where the sacrifice is, but we know who's going to provide it. And we know that if we keep on moving, shine double horse. If we just keep on moving and get to the place we need to be in, when we need it, we're going to see it. Look over your shoulder. God has a ram in the bush. We know that you are the resurrection. We know we will see our brother again. But if we keep on going, we're going to see him sooner than we thought. We know that all things work together for the good. God sent me here to tell you, with all that he has done for you with his right hand, you're going to be amazed what he's pulling with us left. God bless you. Stand to your feet and get somebody by the hand. There's your right hand, just grab their left hand. Their left hand, just grab somebody's right hand. And it's all working together for good. You got something in both of your hands? God does too. Whatever you thought you lost, God's gonna fix that too. What I love about this text is that Joseph had gotten a prophecy years ago that his brothers were going to bow. But he never did anything to make it happen. In the process of giving himself to other people, everything he needed was given to him. Next week I'm going to show you his attitude. I'm going to show you the attitude of champions. Shadabai. I'm going to show you why he was selected. I declare unto you that you are fighting the best part of you. You're fighting it because it looks weak and it looks meek and it looks vulnerable and it looks foolish. You're fighting it because you could have run away when you got out of jail. You could have tried to make that prophecy happen and you didn't do it. You're fighting it because there you are serving somebody else's vision and your heart is broken and you're crying yourself to sleep at night because you missed something that's nowhere around. And as blessed as you are, you've been feeling guilty to complain because you say, I'm blessed and I shouldn't even complain. But when I lay down at night and I get through walking in my blessings, I miss something that's personal that I need to make me feel whole. But if I never have it, I'm going to keep on serving God. If it never happens, I'm going to keep on walking with God. If it never happens, I'm going to keep on praising God. And God said, it's coming. It's coming. The more you forget about it, it's coming. The more you obey me, it's coming. The more you surrender, it's coming. The more you stop being stubborn, it's coming. The more you stop being selfish, it's coming. You take care of what I told you to do, and I'll take care of what you can't do yourself. Squeeze that hand. The anointing is in this place. Glory to God. The anointing. The anointing of God is in this place. The anointing of God is in this place. You're not even going to have to knock on the door. It's going to knock on your door. It's coming. The person you're touching has received a word from God today. They received a word that was so personal it went real deep. They received the kind of word they're going to have to think about all week long because God was talking to them about some things that they've been trying to do in their flesh, and they got to stop trying to get it back in their flesh and just do what God told you to do, and you're going to get what God told you you would get. Squeeze that hand. The Lord said it's in his hands. What your heart aches for is in his hands. What you cried for is in his hands. And he's bringing it all together. Squeeze that hand and pray a little prayer for the person you're touching. I feel the anointing in his place.
It may not feel good right now.
It may not feel good, but it's working.
It's working, working.
It's working,
working for
my good.
Oh, some good's gonna happen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some good is gonna happen.
Oh, it may not feel good, but
it's working. Sometimes I gotta call your name.
It may not feel good, but it's working.
God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. I feel like having church, don't you?
It may not feel good, but it's working.
It may not feel good.
God's talking to you. God's talking to you.
Happen, I'll be alright. So whatever happens,
yeah.
So whatever,
just let it happen.
I'll be
all right.
I'll be all right.
One more time. So whatever happens, so whatever, just let it happen.
Let it happen.
Because I know I'll
be all right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
If that don't bless you, your blesser's broke. I said, if that doesn't bless you, your blesser is broke. If you got a blessing from the Lord this morning, clap your hands and give him some praise. I want you to take a moment. You may be seated. I want you to take a moment to bless the Lord that's blessing you, not just through the word, but all week long and through everything you're going through. I want you to bless the Lord who's got your right hand and your left hand blessed. And he's bringing it all together. And I don't want you to think that you're going to do it in your strength or in your might, but in your obedience, God is going to work it all out according to the counsel of his own will. It may not feel good, but it's working. It may not feel good, but it's working. It may not feel good, but it's working. It's working, it's working for my good. For my good. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be so good. Oh. Oh. Working for my good, I know it is, I know it. I know it is, I know it is, I know, I know, I know, I know it is. Wait till he brings it all together, it's gonna turn out. It's gonna turn out for my good when he gets to pull it, when he gets to pull it all in. Y'all make me want to have some church this morning. You may not feel good. We're getting ready to worship the Lord and offer you online. You need to join into this moment. Who knows? Sometimes God tests you. Can you be consistent? I was preaching in Washington Friday night. I told them your three objectives ought to be your consecration, your commitment, and your consistency. I want you to write that down, your consecration. These are the three things I want you to work on for 2017. Your consecration. I want you to give God more devotion than you did last year. Your consecration. Your commitment. Your commitment. Be committed to what you're committed to. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you sign up for something, stop making excuses. Your commitment has got to be better. And the third thing, your consistency. Consistency builds trust. And we'll give you the clue for next week. Consistency builds trust. God cannot invest where there is no trust. It isn't about, do you trust God? It's not about, can you trust God? God's stable. God's committed. God's consistent. The question is, can God trust you? And in order for God to be able to trust you for what he wants to do in 2017, your consecration has to be better. Your commitment has to be better. And your consistency has to be better, because nobody likes to invest in fluctuation. Consistency. will get it done. At Blue Barrel, you see people walking to us, helping us to pay for our youth empowerment center. It's up. It's done. God's blessing it. Yeah, man. He was skipping. You see him skipping? He was skipping past me, but he was looking too. In case I didn't look right, he was going to skip on back to his seat. He said, is this cool? How many people are ready to bless the Lord? Do you know how amazing it is that God would let you bless him? He don't need it. It's got to be a test of character. Whatever you give it to him, you just give him back what he already gave you. Pass this test. You watch it online, pass this test. Lift your gift up before God. Your phone, whatever mechanism you've given, your iPad, whatever it is, lift it up before God. Father, of thine own have we given thee. Whatever we got to give you is only because you first gave it to us. We are living, eating, breathing out of your hand right now. All of my help, all of my strength comes from you. And I honor you. With my tithe and my offering is my way of acknowledging you in all my ways. You said you direct my path. Thank you for divine direction in 2017. I can't spend 2017 wandering in the wilderness of my own confusion. Not another year in the wilderness. This is my promised land year. I step into it with commitment, with consecration, with consistency. Somebody say amen. Amen. Serve the people of God. May not feel good, but it's working. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Whatever happens, I'll be all right.
Whatever.
Say it. Whatever happens, I'll be all right.
Whatever, whatever, whatever. It will be all right. Yeah. Whatever, 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 whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever the devil throws at me, I know it will be. I know it. Jesus promised me that it will be. If I just hold on, if I just hold on, if I just hold on, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever happens,
just then, it happens,
it will be.
I'm going to release you in a minute to your destiny. I believe God's got some things that he's going to pull together for you. Anybody else believe that too? Hey, everybody standing. I'm down to the last few minutes of this service. Before I dismiss you, I just want to make sure that there's not a backslider in the building, not an unbeliever in the building, not a sinner in the building. Because I would hate to let this service close without giving you a chance at eternal life. I would hate for you to come here and get inspired, but not changed. And so, before I close this service, I'd like to offer an ambidextrous God to you. An ambidextrous God who wants to pull your life together for his glory. And if you're willing to take your life out of your hands and put it into his hands, I swear he'll work it out. Jesus, work it out. If you let him, he'll work it out. But you have to let him. And so I want to give you this chance right now. I'm not going to take long. I'm not going to go into a trance. I'm not going to tell you your mama's phone number. Somebody in here, mama named Helen. I'm not doing none of that crazy stuff. I just want to give you a chance not to let this service. I think it's going to be bad if this service closes. If the door closes and you miss this opportunity after God spoke right to you, you ought to come. By the way, if you want to join the church and come to my left, the door to this church is open for membership. We'd love to have you as a part of our family. So let me make that clear so you understand. You come to the altar if you want to accept Christ. You come to the left if you want to join the church. Whosoever will, let him come. Everywhere there's a soul, I want to minister to meet them. I'm getting ready to close. Can you afford to let this service close without you coming to this altar? Can you afford to let this service close without you joining this church? miracles. Would you do us the honor of praying the closing prayer over the church as we prepare to go today? Would you do that for us?
Sure.
Okay. Wait just a moment. A moment of grace. Last call. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Let him come. Let my son pray the closing prayer. All the blessed people said amen.
Amen.
Well, this is unexpected. But all I've been thinking about while Bishop's been up here talking, I do want to pray for you and this church. But I want to pray for Bishop in particular. So if we would just all bow our heads. Father God, I pray that you just give all of us the strength and the wisdom to both prosper. And I pray that you just help us to all fear you and love you simultaneously with all the strength that we have. I pray that you just bless this church even more so than you already have.